On ABC Radio, you are with Rod Quinn. It is time to talk health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch at the University of Melbourne. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
Before we begin, I should point out that Gordon tweets at Gordon S. Lynch on Twitter. If you would like to contact Gordon that way, or maybe ask him via that method for a subject that we might want to discuss on the program, then please feel free to do that at Gordon S. Lynch. Now, this morning, we're talking about one of your favourite topics, which is resistance training. And although some people might think that resistance is futile, in fact, it actually has a lot of benefits, and one of them could be the treating of depression.
Yeah, so a serious topic, something, you know, mental disorders, including depression, but also anxiety, major problems around the world in terms of the global burden of disease. And you know, the World Health Organization finds that mental illness accounts for more than 15% of the burden of disease in the first world countries. That's more than all the cancers put together. Now, that's a staggering amount.
It is, yeah.
It really is. And so I think we've got some problems to address. And the exercise, how it fits into this, you know, there's no sort of one answer to mental illness, but researchers and clinicians and others are finding that some patients with depression and anxiety, there's no sort of simple, inexpensive and safe method. One of them, we think, that could be simple, safe and effective as a sort of add-on to what might be existing therapies is exercise. And the idea is that you know, it's exercise is going to supplement traditional treatments. So it might be cognitive or behavioural therapies or psychological therapies. There may be medications that are necessary to treat people for different types of mental health conditions. But exercise can have tremendous benefits for mental health, and we've talked a little bit around this topic for a while. And you know, the benefits could be that people who are more physically active, they're less likely to have depression or develop it. And that goes across both sexes and also for people of all ages. And also, regardless of the severity of the depression, that exercise can have a benefit even in the worst cases, and it can be a favourable, what we call adjunct, to traditional treatments for depression. So a lot of benefits for exercise, and traditionally we've talked about aerobic exercise benefits, you know, more the sort of walking and jogging and those sorts of exercises, but more these days we're getting used to the fact that resistance training or lifting weights can also have benefits for mental health, okay. In this case for depression.
All right, so we're talking about preventing it in some ways, maybe even delaying its onset or easing the problem. So if you are working out, maybe less likely to develop depressing illness, or maybe if you are suffering from depression, if you are doing a workout of some kind, then that is going to ease the symptoms and maybe, if not cure it, then make it far more manageable. But why is that, Gordon?
Well, what we think in terms of the benefits of exercise, it could be about focusing the mind and the body on rhythmic, so it has a sort of meditative quality about exercise. It could be about relieving muscle tension, getting the heart pumping and getting the huffing and puffing is actually very good as a vent or a steam valve for venting frustrations and those sorts of things that will ultimately promote relaxation, greater awareness. It could be a physical but a non-violent outlet for frustrations, and I think that can be a very good sort of steam valve for many people that have frustration in their lives, whether it be at work or at home, or whether they can often go and exercise and let out that frustration in a positive way. Exercise has a boosting of its energy effect as well. It takes energy to do exercise, but you also have a lot of energy left over. And so that fatigue and other things that can complicate matters if you have mental health disorders, that's going to be a factor too. And exercise potentially could have a benefit for improving your self-image as well. So yeah, that sort of that quality. So the chemical side of it, you know, in terms of exercise alleviating depression, could be boosting, you know, with the body levels of serotonin, so that's a chemical that's linked to mood, you know, various endorphins, which are sort of natural painkillers that give these sort of feelings of euphoria, that exercise can be associated with those positive feelings. And I think all of those things, you know, really add up the case that why we should be advocating exercise for everyone, but especially if you've got these sorts of symptoms.
Okay. Also, just getting that blood flowing. And we know that the more you get your blood flowing, the healthier you are.
Yeah, and blood flow to the brain. We've learned a lot over recent weeks about stimulating nerve cell growth and so on. I think we're learning a lot more about the benefits of exercise for brain health as well.
Okay. So why is this resistance training, and that is lifting weights, why is that better than running or aerobic workouts?
Well, I would say that it's not necessarily better. I think the evidence is showing us that certainly all types of exercise are beneficial for mental health. So I think it would be wrong to suggest that one type of exercise is more beneficial than other, that aerobic exercise is better than resistance training or is better than Tai Chi or better than yoga or something like that. All these sorts of exercises are beneficial, and a lot of the evidence is supporting that sort of thing. Most evidence that we've got is saying about aerobic exercise, but the latest literature, the latest paper that's just been published, has really shown that there are benefits from resistance training, and I think it's a combination of those different exercises which will be the most beneficial.
All right, Gordon Lynch, our guest, talking health and fitness this morning. So this has been published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Psychiatry Journal in the May issue. What do they say?
Well, they sort of did this big search of all different studies to see what had been done about resistance training and depression. They were very particular about the studies that they were looking at. They had to have various control groups to make sure that certain groups were exercising, some groups weren't exercising, that they had done tests for depression before and after and so on. And when they did all those different type of analysis, they got 33 studies of weight training and depression that met their particular criteria. So it totaled around about 2,000 people of various ages, some that had been diagnosed with depression, others that hadn't. And what they found was resistance training consistently reduced the symptoms of depression, whether someone was formally depressed at the start of the study or not. If people began the study with depression, they usually felt better after taking up the weight training. If they started out with normal mental health, they ended up the experiment with less chance of becoming sad and other those sorts of feelings than people that didn't train. And in terms of, you say, well, how much do I have to do to get this benefit? I think the really interesting finding from this study was that the amount of weight training didn't seem to matter.
Really?
The benefits were the same whether you went to the gym twice a week or whether you went five times a week.
So it was just actually doing it that made the difference, not how much you did.
Yes, and I think all they're one of the statements that in terms of the write-up of this particular study was all that mattered was showing up and completing the workouts. And I think, you know, the benefits are the same for men and women. They show for younger lifters versus for older, middle-aged or older people doing weight training. And it wasn't about building big muscles. I think that's the thing that people think, I'm going to do weight training. Oh, I don't want to build big muscles. You don't have to do that. And this is what they found in this study was that having more strength after the type of weight training didn't really matter. It was all about just doing the exercise. So I think a very, very interesting finding that really advocates the benefits of weight training, just doing that form of activity had that effect on depression.
And that is the same thing that has been found, as you have talked about in the past as well, in workouts for older people. And we're talking about people maybe in their 70s, 80s, because quite often the amount they're lifting really is not that much. It's the fact that they're doing it makes the difference, which makes me think, you know, it's that collegiality, it's the fact that you're doing it with other people, and you're interacting with other people on a social basis. It's a little bit different in this case because maybe you're working out on your own, but it's the actual fact of doing it.
Well, and they certainly did cover those sorts of things. I think what you said about being with others is important and that sort of thing. But this concept of expectancy, people expect the workouts to make them feel more cheerful, and they do. It's those sorts of things where you think, well, I know that I'm going to get a benefit. This psychological benefit may be the result of a of a biological placebo effect, but regardless, it still produces these benefits because we talked about the various neurochemicals and other things that will influence mood. Certainly there are physiological effects, but the consequences, I think, are very impressive. It's really showing that if you're able to just do a couple of sessions per week, right, you're going to get a benefit for mental health, not just for the muscle health. And I think it's a very good story.
But what also should be looked at is what are the ongoing benefits if you stop? So if you've worked out using resistance training for, who knows, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, does that kind of ward off depression? Or if you stop working out, maybe you only do it for 6 months or a year, does the chance of becoming depressed or developing that sort of illness, does that come back?
Yeah, look, that's a very interesting question. And in fact, there was a study that came out of Adelaide a few months ago. It was published in the Journal of Affective Disorders. They looked at what happens if you stop exercising. So people that were doing a normal amount of exercise, say 30 minutes of exercise 3 times a week for a minimum of 3 months, if they stopped doing that form of exercise, it actually induced increases in the depressive symptoms in just 3 days in some people. You know, or even at least after 1 or 2 weeks, they started feeling increased depressive symptoms. So I think of this, you know, the study that I'm talking about was actually a very small study, so we need to be careful how we interpret it. But we need to also appreciate that there's a potential impact on mental well-being if you suddenly stop doing regular exercise. So you're getting that benefit and you're deriving all those things that you get from being and doing those exercises, and it's not just about the muscle, but it's about the brain health as well. If you stop doing that, you know, you're missing pieces of the puzzle, so to speak. So I think we need to keep that in mind about getting into healthy habits, and that is not necessarily being obsessive about things, but making sure that we pay attention to, did we get enough exercise? Are we getting a variety of exercise? Are we checking those boxes to make sure that we're doing everything we can to enjoy the most beneficial effects of exercise, okay, for our mental health as well as physical health?
All right. Now, we should point out, of course, that just because there seems to be a link between easing or preventing depression by doing this workout, it doesn't mean that if you are on medication, you should stop taking it. And of course, with any of these things, consult your doctor first.
Yeah, I think for those who've got severe levels of depression or anxiety, exercise alone is probably not going to be sufficient to eliminate all the symptoms. So medications are going to be a necessary part of that treatment to correct the chemical imbalances that there may be in the brain. But in consultation with your doctor or your specialist, I think exercise could be one of those things that helps with the medication side of things. It could be group sessions that could be helpful. It could be designing a training program in consultation with an exercise specialist that covers the different bases. Aerobic exercise for the benefit of heart and lungs, resistance training for the benefit of the muscles, but all of these different exercises that we're talking about are actually having a benefit for brain health as well. So I think it's about being sensible about it, recognizing that these are serious problems, that we need to address them seriously, but they need to be done in consultation with your specialist, because just saying, well, I'm going to do exercise now and it's going to replace my medication, that may not necessarily be the case at all. And I think we need to make sure we approach it in the proper way.
So you could go down to your local variety store or your local sports store, pick up a couple of small hand barbells and start working out in that way, and that's going to do you good, we hope.
I think so, and I think, again, we don't necessarily have to go to an expensive gym, although gyms have benefits in terms of there's other people around and there's the social side of that, but there's also the instructors that are there that can help you out. But if you prefer to train at home, and certainly we're sort of getting to that time where we need to revisit that topic, I think, Rod, just picking up a set of weights or just fitting out your spare room or a garage with a couple of benches or whatever, you can actually do very good workouts at home and derive these benefits. So I think a simple strategy that we're learning a lot more about, and the benefits not just for the physical side of it, but for mental health as well.
We should point out, though, that if you are going to set up a home gym, you do need somebody probably to do that for you, and you've got to be very careful when you are doing it, if you're on your own, because you don't want any terrible accident to happen. So just bear that in mind. We're not encouraging people to do it without instructional supervision to begin with. But good news, Gordon, and I appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.